Good morning, Crossroads Family Church, and for all those that are listening in, happy and blessed Resurrection Sunday. Title of the message today is, What Difference Does It Make? That's talking about the resurrection and what Jesus did for me. What difference does that make in my life today? Matthew 28 and verse 6, it says, He is not here, He is risen. Just as He said, come and see the place where He lay. So His resurrection makes all the difference in the world. And today is a great day of celebration. Some people are saying that possibly up to one-third of the world will tune in to internet and services today. And we're praying that people would be drawn to Jesus. So the stone is rolled away. Jesus didn't need that stone rolled away, but the others did so they could go down in the grave and see that Jesus was not there. One of my mom's favorite songs on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, was Christ the Lord is risen today. And even today, whenever we sing that song, I think of my mom and tears come to my eyes. Also because of my mom, but because we know we serve a risen Savior and He's alive. Corinthians says, though, if Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain. Our faith is useless and is vain as well. But thank God, He is risen and it's changed everything about our lives today. Some people say they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in heaven or the resurrection because they can't see it. But right now, there's a whole lot of people that have changed everything about their lives because of virus that they can't see. So the resurrection changes everything. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, Peter's talking. That was in Acts chapter 3. They brought healing to the lame man through the name of Jesus. And then Peter speaking says, By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, it's by that name, it's by Jesus, that this man stands before you whole and healed today. Revelation chapter 1, talking about Jesus. Jesus saying, I am alive. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. It's no longer going to have power over you. I conquered it, and I give that victory to you. So the resurrection became real to me when I was 12 years old. I surrendered my life to the Lordship of Jesus and received Him on as my Savior. That day, I was recreated in my spirit, and God, the God that created this universe, came to live on the inside of me. Romans chapter 8:11, if that same Holy Spirit, 2,000 years ago, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that Holy Spirit will dwell in you today. And if He does, He said He will give life to your mortal bodies. He'll recreate you, and He will actually bring the very life of God inside you and let it be all around you. 1 Corinthians 6 says, a question mark, don't you know that you are actually the temple of God? Your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. In the Old Testament, God dwelled in the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, and a couple other places. But now, the address of God is you because of the resurrection. Because Jesus conquered the grave and rose from the grave, He can now come and live inside of you and recreate you and cause you to be a child of God. You were bought with the blood of Jesus with a tremendous price. Therefore, let's honor and glorify Him. So if you're born again, I'm going to say it over and over, you have the living God living on the inside of you. So this is kind of a little joke, even though you're watching by online, just humor me and laugh anyway, even if some of my jokes are not that funny. We are 30 days into self-isolation, and it's really upsetting me to witness my husband standing at the living room window, gazing aimlessly into space, with tears running down his cheeks. It breaks my heart to see him like this. I have thought very hard about how I can cheer him up. I've even considered letting him in, but rules are rules. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I deliver to you as of first importance what I have received, that Christ died for my sins and your sins, for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, to the 12, and then more than 500 brothers at one time. most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. So he is alive. Truth of the matter, I've seen him every single day for 46 years. You know, Andy walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. God is with us, and he's walking with us. I've seen him in hundreds, probably even thousands of people in my lifetime. I see Jesus in their smile, their faces, their hands, their kindness, their love, and just the way they live their life. Obviously, Jesus is alive because he's totally transformed me and all of those people that I see Jesus living his life through them. I know he's alive. So in 3 short months, what God did with Pharaoh and the Egyptians in destroying all of their idols, all of the things that they prioritized and made gods, God through Moses and through the hand of God brought plagues into Egypt, destroying those idols and knocking down those gods. And God has done a little bit of that right now with things that we worship. They're not quite on that same pedestal. Not in the habit of quoting Hulk Hogan, but this is a quote from him that I saw this week. God said, if you want to worship athletes, I'm going to shut down all the stadiums. You want to worship musicians, I'm going to shut down all the civic centers. You want to worship actors, I'll shut down the theaters. You want to worship money and idolize money and make that your God, I'm going to shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church anymore and worship me, I'll make it so you can't go to church. Actually, the devil's not winning. More people are going to church online. The church is not the building. The church is you. And the church, Jesus, is going everywhere. God's not quarantined from the earth. He's still with us always. Wherever we go, God is going with us. He has totally changed and transformed your lives and our lives. Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. God said he's a jealous God. He doesn't want any of these things that we've made more important than God in our lives to be above him. He said, I am the Lord your God, and I'll have no other gods before me. And this is a great time to reevaluate our priorities, because those idols, things that we've placed above God, have been changed right now. So during this pandemic, people are afraid, they're unsettled. They're anxious, they're looking for hope, and Christians, we have the answer. Well, it's not us, it's Jesus in us. Jesus is the answer for the world today. In him there is no other. Jesus is our way, he's everybody's way. So this is a great opportunity. I'm believing that this is going to be the finest hour for the church and for us as Christians, because we have what they're looking for. We have Jesus. And so we're hope dealers. We're bringing hope to the world. We're light shiners. We're love givers. We're bringing the peace of God that passes understanding, that guards our heart and mind, and we're bringing that peace into other people's lives so it can drive out all the fear that's in the world right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, usually use this verse for funerals, but it applies today very well. We don't grieve, we don't fear, we don't live as those that have no hope, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And after that, we who are alive, it says, and still will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll be at the Lord forever, talking about the second coming, talking about heaven, talking about eternity. It says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Heaven is for real. Jesus is for real. The resurrection did take place, and we're walking with Jesus every day. Let me give you an illustration. So let's just say that you're living in a foreign country, and one day you happen to break a major rule of the land, and you appeal to the king for mercy, and he says, a rule is a rule. I cannot ban the rule for you. What will others say about my integrity? However, if you can find a substitute to take your punishment, 3 months in jail, I will allow that. So by God's grace, you find a willing substitute. He goes to prison on your behalf, and you don't see him for some time. Days, weeks, and months pass by. Now, how or when will you know that your crime has been paid for? When will you be able to rest easy regarding your crime? It is when you see your substitute, he's been walking free again. When you see him out of prison, you know that his sentence has been served. You'll know that you are now justified, that you don't have to fear the king or the laws of the land. So no longer will you be afraid of the king, once again, or of his guards, because you see your substitute walking free. Well, Jesus Christ is your substitute and my substitute. We owed a debt that we could not pay. The wages of sin is death. Before we accepted Christ, the wrath of God abided in us. We deserve hell. The wages of our life, separated and apart from Jesus, was eternity in hell, separated from God. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus went through an agonizing, painful crucifixion and paid that debt for you. He became your substitute. He was made sin on your behalf so that the penalty of sin could be paid for. He was our propitiation. He appeased the wrath of God by his very own blood so that we could be forgiven. And now that debt with God has been satisfied through his son Jesus. And God saw and was very pleased and raised Jesus from the dead on that third day. Romans chapter 3, this right standing is given now to us through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Verse 23, all have sinned. We all have been sinners and have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve death. We deserve eternity in hell. But Jesus made a way for us to get to heaven. And now we can be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. I love that song, "Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So." I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Let's shout that today, Resurrection Sunday from the mountaintop, that we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today, and he's in our lives, and he can be in your life today if you open the door of your life and surrender your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Today can be your day of salvation, and that's my prayer for you, that you would surrender fully the reins and authority of your life over to the Lordship of Jesus. Our God is looking to reign in the midst of all darkness. Our God does reign, and he wants us to announce peace and proclaim news and hope of happiness right now. Tell the world that God is still on the throne, he still controls, he's still reigning, and he wants us to share this good news. The joy of the Lord, the hope of Jesus, the peace of God that passes all understanding. He wants us to share this good news that God can come and walk through with you through every storm that you face. He's in your boat. He can be in your life. He can calm your fears. He can speak to the storm, "Peace, be still." And he wants us to be messengers of this faith and this hope and this peace and this joy. And it is good news that Jesus is the answer. Once again, we serve a risen Savior, and he is all around us. Just open your eyes and see him. Yes, it is a very difficult and dark time right now, but the light of Jesus can shine brightest during the dark times. So the resurrection of Jesus made all of this possible, and we can announce the year of the Lord's favor. We can proclaim, just like Jesus did in Luke 4 and Isaiah 61, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, and he's anointed us to bring good news, to bring announce the day of the Lord's favor, but also to announce the day of the vengeance of our God. So let's bring good news. Let's proclaim liberty to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, and free those that are bound through the power of the resurrected Jesus being released in their lives. So if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can trust God for your protection. Just like they did in the Old Testament in Exodus 23, God said, "I'm going to go through Egypt. I'm going to strike all of the firstborn. But if you take the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb, and Jesus is our Passover lamb," they were told to take that blood and apply it to the doorpost of their home, the doorpost. And when the death angel came and saw that the blood was applied to those houses, they were not destroyed. For us today, in the midst of all difficulties, all hardships, God still has a place of refuge for us, a place of protection. Just like in the Old Testament, they had the land of Goshen. God can be your land of Goshen protection today. You can apply the blood to Jesus today, in your life today, by confessing your sins, by repenting and turning your life over to Jesus. He said, if you confess your sins, He is just and faithful to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I love that quote in the movie, Saving Private Ryan. He said, Tom Hanks said to Private Ryan, make this worth it. Let's make what Jesus did on the cross, that agonizing, painful crucifixion and death, let's make it worth it and apply Jesus to our lives today. Don't let Jesus die in vain. Don't let His horrible crucifixion and painful death that He went through so that you can be redeemed, reconciled, forgiven, and restored and a part of God's family now, but also an eternal family. Don't waste that opportunity today. Psalm 23, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil. You do not have to live in fear of this pandemic, because God is with you, and this too will pass, and He always brings us to the other side. His rod, His authority, His Bible, His name, the name of Jesus, will be like a staff that brings Jesus on the scene. And it brings Jesus to also comfort us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord, not just today on Resurrection Sunday, but we'll live and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 91, a great promise for right now and every day. Whoever dwells in the secret place, do you know how to dwell in a relationship with God and abide in Him? If you dwell in that secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we'll say of the Lord then, He's our refuge, our fortress, our protector, and our deliverer. We have an amazing God. So this is a good time, once again, to turn your life over to Jesus. Verse 5 of Psalm 91, you don't have to fear the pestilence or the virus or the pandemic that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. If you say of the Lord that He is your refuge in the Most High, your dwelling place, your home where you abide, He says no harm will overtake you. It's not going to win the battle no matter what. Because we love Jesus, He's going to protect us because we acknowledge Him. He'll be with us in trouble. He will show us His salvation and deliverance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says that God has not appointed His children to wrath, but to receive salvation. I hope that the wrath of God no longer abides in you, and you're no longer a sinner, that you've become part of the family of God, so that that wrath has been appeased for you. There's a possibility that we can see the second coming of Christ in our lifetime. You don't want to be around for the very end of this life. If you read the book of Revelation, when judgment comes on the earth, it's not going to be a pretty place. It's going to be way, way, way worse than what we're experiencing right now. And I would like you, and I would like all of us, to be spared that and know Jesus Christ. So this is from another preacher. I was listening to his sermon this last week, and this is he shared a story about a fish called a Moses sole. It's a small flounder that can be found in the Red Sea. There's also large sharks in those waters, and those sharks would typically eat fish of that size, weight, and just like that. So, but they won't eat the Moses sole fish. They found out that this little Moses sole has a unique defense system. Whenever it senses any kind of danger, it secretes poisonous toxins out of its glands. And these toxins literally freeze the jaw of the shark. Actually, in this article, they had a picture of a Moses fish right inside of the shark's mouth, and nothing was happening because the shark could not bite down. So it was paralyzed because of that. Actually, God has a protection for us. When we have God in us, there's a supernatural protection from all the things that are going on in the world. And he will protect us. And he'll bring us through this victorious to the other side. So just as the Moses soulfish was protected, we can be protected by the blood of Jesus, and Jesus being our refuge and fortress and protector. Important thing to realize, if we get so caught up in this world, this life that you experience down here is just like a drop in the ocean when it's compared to all eternity. You need to realize that this is not our home, that this life is going to pass. We're all going to die, and we want to spend eternity with Jesus. He said we have a mansion over the hilltop. That's another awesome song. And the verse that goes with that is God said, or Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you to be with me forever. So Jesus' resurrection made heaven and eternity for us a reality. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, even if you die, you're going to live forever. That's a hope for you. Paul said, I want to know you, Jesus Christ, and the power of your resurrection. The Greek is actually ek anastasis. Paul was already born again, but he said, I've not obtained the closeness to God that I want. I want to press in for more of God. I want to know Jesus in the fellowship and the sharing of his suffering. Life is difficult. You partake of many, many difficult things in life. You can partake of some of those sufferings and allow Christ to be live big, being like Christ in his death, and then you can be conformed to the image of Jesus, and like Paul, receive that resurrection power. His strength can be made perfect in your weakness, your inabilities. You have been united with Christ in his death. You can also be united with him in his resurrection. You were there. We were buried with Christ. We died with Christ. We were raised with Christ. We're seated with Christ. And actually, we can reign with Christ. And that's not just heaven. That's even now. We're seated in heavenly places if you are in Christ Jesus. Matthew 28 said he's with us right now. And he's always with us. That he'll never leave us or forsake us. Look to him during this difficult time. You need to receive and identify with Jesus' life, death, and resurrection today. Let's be like Paul. We want to even get closer to Jesus so that we can know his power, that resurrection power in our life. Matthew 16, let's lose our life for his sake and the gospel. Let's find our purpose and reason for being alive, and it's found in knowing the calling of God and the purpose of why you created. The resurrection made this possible. John 17:3. This is eternal life, to know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I pray that you would get to know Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection today and every day of the rest of your life.
That once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory.
to him who is our peace, his final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. And your name. Borrowed for 3 days, his body.